The rest of the story need not be shown in action, and indeed would hardly need telling if our imaginations were not so enfeebled by their lazy dependence on the ready-makes and reach-me-downs of the rag shop in which romance keeps its stock of happy endings to misfit all stories. Now, the history of Eliza Doolittle, though called a romance because of the transfiguration it records, seems exceedingly improbable, is common enough. Such transfigurations have been achieved by hundreds of resolutely ambitious young women since Nell Gwynne set them the example by playing queens and fascinating kings in the theatre which she began by selling oranges. Nevertheless, people in all directions have assumed, for no other reason, that she became the heroine of a romance, that she must have married the hero of it. This is unbearable. Not only because her little drama, if acted on such a thoughtless assumption, must be spoiled, but because the true sequel is patent to anyone with a sense of human nature in general and a feminine instinct in particular. Eliza, in telling Higgins she would not marry him if he asked her, was not coquetting. She was announcing a well-considered decision. When a bachelor interests and dominates and teaches and becomes important to a spinster, as Higgins with Eliza, she always, if she has character enough to be capable of it, considers very seriously indeed whether she will play for becoming that bachelor's wife, especially if he is so little interested in marriage that a determined and devoted woman might capture him if she set herself resolutely to do it. Her decision will depend a good deal on whether she is really free to choose. And that again will depend on her age and income. If she is at the end of her youth and has no security for her livelihood, she will marry him because she must marry anybody who will provide for her. But at Eliza's age, a good-looking girl does not feel that pressure. She feels free to pick and choose. She is therefore guided by her instinct in the matter. Eliza's instinct tells her not to marry Higgins. It does not tell her to give him up. It is not in the slightest doubt as to his remaining one of the strongest personal interests in her life. It would be very sorely strained if there was another woman likely to supplant her with him. But as she feels sure of him on that last point, she has no doubt at all as to her course, and would not have any, even if the difference of 20 years in age, which seems so great to youth, did not exist between them.